Well, good morning. My name is Kurt. It's great to have you here with us at Crosspoint this morning. And we're in week four, as you've heard, of At the Movies and taking a look at these big movies that hit the big screen every summer and some of the spiritual fibers, some of the spiritual questions that these movies raise for us. And today we're going to be taking a look at Unbroken, The Path to Redemption, and we're going to dig into a question that probably every single one of us have asked at some point or another, and that is, how do we get past the past? How do we get past those big things that have happened somewhere back in our history, whether it be 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 12 years ago, that have some ability and in some unique way continue to reach into our present and dictate our future? And so in the movie Unbroken, which we're going to look at today, The Path to Redemption, this is actually a sequel to the original movie, which was just titled Unbroken. It was released in 2014, directed by Angelina Jolie. And in the original movie actually chronicled Louis Zamperini's life as he was an Olympic athlete that then turned into an army officer for World War II. His bomber went down and he survived 47 days on a raft before he was captured by the enemies. And he was then taken into a series of prisoner of war camps. And it was in these camps that he just experienced unthinkable atrocities into his life and pain and abuse. And so this version, the sequel to this original movie, The Path to Redemption, really chronicles his dealing with all of those things that happened years ago in the past as he's now back in the United States trying to start a family, trying to, you know, develop a relationship with his wife and then eventually a daughter. And one of the things he realizes, as we heard in that trailer, is he thought he could just forget the past. But the past keeps reaching into the present and pulling him back. And so this leads us back to that important question, how do we get past the past? How do we deal with those things, those big things that have been done to us? Or that maybe we were a part of, but in some way, shape, or form, likely someone else was a part of creating in our lives. And so here's the thing we know, and we know this because we've all been there in one way, shape, or form. We know that if you don't deal with the past, and if I don't deal with the past, whether that be some type of betrayal in the past, whether that be some type of abuse, whether that be some type of significant pain, or maybe just somebody totally shattered our trust and we just have a hard time trusting anyone, one of the things we know is that the people that you dislike the most, the people that you and I probably don't ever want to see again, the people who betrayed you, the people that you can't believe that they did what they did, if you don't deal with the past properly and I don't deal with the past properly, then they have this ability to continue to reach into our present and to dictate our future because we just continue to drag the past with us. So we're going to look at this movie today, and this is really the overarching theme of this movie of how to get past this, and then we're going to hopefully take some steps to do that. So let me pray for us before we jump into this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for this beautiful, beautiful morning. There's so many places we could be today, and yet we're here. And God, we just believe you have something profound and unique that you want to do in our lives today. And so, God, I just pray that you would give us the ability to see maybe a step we need to take and the courage to take that today. And thank you for just being here with us and meeting us where we are. And we pray these things according to your name and your identity, Jesus. Amen. Well, as we dig into this whole idea of trying to get past the past, I want to ask two of my favorite questions. You've probably heard these before if you've been a part of Crosspoint. If you're newer, you may have never thought of these questions. These are great questions. And for some of you, these have been game-changing questions because when you dig into these have actually helped you get past your past. For others of us, we've kind of faced these questions eyeball to eyeball, and we've not been willing to deal with them. So we're still in the same place we've been for the last number of years. And so these are kind of, they make you squirm a little bit in your seat, which is why I'm glad I have bright lights in my face, because I can't see you squirm today, all right? This is why you don't want me to be your counselor, because I like asking questions that kind of get straight to the issue, and sometimes we don't want to get straight to the issue. And so two thoughtful yet somewhat insensitive questions if we think about the past and the things that have impacted us in the past. So here's the first one. Are you ready? How far into your future do you intend to carry the angst that was created in your past? And by angst, I mean not just the anxiety, because our past and the pain and trauma we've experienced usually creates anxiety for us, but it's also anger, right? I mean, usually we're angry about the things that continue to reach into our present. And so that's angst. How long or how far into the future do you intend to carry the angst that was created by some event that happened to you in the past? And oftentimes we look at this and we're like, well, I don't know. I've never really thought of it that way, which is why it's a good question. Because here's the thing. If you don't have a point in time where you decide I'm not going to carry this any longer, then you're going to keep on carrying it. Or another way to ask this same question is, how long do you intend to allow the people who have mistreated you to continue to influence you today? And again, we look at that and we're like, gosh, I've never thought of it that way. And so maybe we need to like get our calendar out and just decide, like, how many more days are we going to allow this thing that happened 10 years ago or 12 years ago to continue to impact my life? And you know, is it going to be till like I blow my current marriage up or my next marriage up? Or is it going to be till my kids are out of my home or until I get out of college or, you know, till I retire? And at that point, I'm finally going to deal with that thing in the past that keeps reaching into my present. I mean, you know, we just have to like look at this thing eyeball to eyeball and say, okay, how long am I going to let it continue to go? And oftentimes, we're just like, gosh, I've never thought of it that way. And here's the weird thing about these kinds of things from our past. Sometimes we don't want them to go away, if we're really honest. Because it's like they're a part of our story, right? And so whenever somebody kind of comes down hard on us, we kind of pull our story out and we're like, well, you know, if you just understood, you know, what happened to me like 15 years ago and the way my ex-husband treated me or, you know, the way that ex-boss, I mean, we have all these, you know, these things that we kind of use and people hear our stories and you're just like, if you just hear my story, you totally understand. And then we tell them and people then are like, oh my gosh, I would be bitter if I were you too. I'd probably be angry too. I'd be probably screwed up just like you are. And so this is like a part of our story, and so it kind of justifies certain things, and so we have to get to this question, how long do you intend to allow the people who have mistreated you in your past to continue to influence you today? And yet, if we're really, really honest, the answer to that question is we'd love for it to stop right now, right? We'd love for it to like end today. So this is why I want us to dig into this morning, because this is a really important question. This is what the whole movie, you know, Unbroken Path to Redemption is. How do we deal with the things that happen to us that we thought we could just forget about, but they continue to impact our present and dictate our future? And Louis Zamperini, he actually determines and takes a step to do this. And so we're going to dig into some of the same things that impact him. Now, let me kind of give you a picture of what this would look like, or you know, a vision, if you will, of what this looks like in our life. I want you to imagine for a moment, if you know, maybe you've met someone like this, the kind of person that like when you meet them, you look at them, you're like, man, they just have it all together. Like, and none of us fully have it together, so it's not like they're perfect, but you look at their life and you're like, man, they must have had a great upbringing. They must have had phenomenal parents. They must have gone to a great school, got into a great college. They met, you know, a great spouse. And man, the DNA of their kids must have been nearly perfect because everybody just looks great and does the right thing. And I mean, everything about your life and what you see, their life and what you see about them, you're like, they just seem to like, it always goes their way. There's nothing in their life that was difficult or rough. And then at some particular point, you hear a little bit more of their story. And all of a sudden, they share something in their past with you, and you go, oh my word, I had no idea they've dealt with that. I had no idea that's a part of their history. And because, see, here's the thing, you know, you meet them and you think, man, they got it together. And then you hear like maybe they had some abuse in their past. And yet you're like, I look at your life and I'm not seeing any evidence that you've been through that difficult thing. Or they had some really, really nasty divorce or some trauma in their life that was created by someone else. And you're like, I never would have known because you seem like normal, right? And so this is the goal right here. Right, the goal is that regardless of what we've dealt with, that we can get to the place where we've moved through that thing so that thing doesn't continue to mark our life. All right, and it's crazy because when I hear stories like this, usually in the midst of the story, I'll be like, all right, time out. Just can you just pause just a second? All right, explain to me how you got from here, like that really difficult thing that was done to you, to here. Because most people get hung up right here. They're never able to move from that major thing that happened to a life that's not impacted, or at least the evidence externally is not seen in their life. Like their marriage isn't being impacted by it, and the way they parent their kids isn't being impacted by it. And so nearly every single time that you know, I'll hear somebody, maybe it's because I'm a pastor and I hear these stories pretty regularly. You know, when I ask, you know, what did you do? How did you get from there to like seemingly normal? And nearly 100% of the time. In fact, I just had a conversation Thursday night. Same conversation that happens when I have conversations with people in our office on this. People that come in to talk to us. Is the person will say, I just decided. I just I just decided. I got to the place where I was so tired of the past, that thing that happened so many years ago, reaching in and dictating my life today. And so I just decided I'm not going to let that happen one more day. I'm going to let the past remind me, but I'm not going to let the past define me. I mean, I'm gonna learn from the past, and I'm not gonna do the things that were done to me to others. I'm gonna be very cautious not to do that. I'm gonna marry differently. I'm gonna parent differently. But I just got to the place where I decided I can't let the past, I'm tired of the past dictating my life. And so I just decided. And so here's the point of today. All right, and in a moment, we're going to look at a really cool scripture from the Apostle Paul that really digs into this. But before we get to that, here's what I want us to hear, that you have the ability to leave the past behind you. All right, you do. You and I have that ability. We have the ability to release the past so the past can release us. Let me say it again. You have the ability to release the past, whatever that thing is, whatever that thing you wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat thinking about or traumatized by that happened 15 years ago. You can release that so that that can release you. And it happens through this one really important word. And you know this word. You've used this word. You've begged people for this word. It's the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. See, forgiveness allows us to leverage the past to learn from it without dragging the baggage from the past into our present and into our future. So we allow the past to remind us, but we don't let it define us. Now listen, none of this is new to us, right? I mean, we get this. We know this in our head. We know that we should be able to forget the past. Like he said in the trailer, Lewis said, I can forget the past. I thought I could just put it behind me. But see, we struggle doing it. And so my prayer this weekend, heading into this weekend, usually my prayer going into weekends is, God, man, would you just do something unique and new and help us to see some new insight or some new thing about our life or your character that takes us to a new place? That's not been my prayer this weekend. My prayer this weekend has been, God, we know these things. Would you give us the courage to make a decision to decide that I'm going to move on this? I'm not going to live one more day or one more year with the past, something that happened way back, influencing my future. And so I want you to hear today that you can decide. Now, when I say decide, I don't want to make it so simplistic that, you know, when you walk out of here today after this phenomenal message you're going to hear, at least I'm setting you up that hopefully it's going to be that way, and two really powerful songs at the end of the service, or maybe you turn off, you know, the podcast, and that you're just going to be like, well, everything's solved, because it's not going to be, all right? I don't fully believe that, but I do believe that if you decide today that I'm going to forgive, I believe God honors that. And something powerful and something profound begins to happen inside of you. And I just believe that you know, in a year or two or four, somebody's going to be hearing your story and looking at your life, and they're going to go, oh, my word. When they hear about that thing that you dealt with in your past, they're going to go, oh, my gosh, I had no idea. I don't see any evidence of that in your life because you decided to forgive. So the Apostle Paul. All right, the Apostle Paul understands something about moving past the past. All right, the Apostle Paul, earlier in his life, he wasn't a Christian. In fact, he hated Christians. Not only did he hate Christians, he had Christians arrested. All right, now some of you're like, man, I'd like to have a few Christians arrested. That doesn't sound like a bad idea. So if you're feeling that way, you're probably gonna like the Apostle Paul because he's like your kind of guy. And so Paul hates Christians, and then he becomes one. And not only does he become one, he starts writing to these Christians living all around the Mediterranean rim. He starts planting churches. He starts building into people who are following Jesus. And it's so fascinating because he gives us very practical things that even if you're not a Christian, even if you're here today for the first time and you're not really into the God thing or church thing and you're checking this out for the first time and you don't necessarily believe the Bible is all accurate, that's totally cool. I think you're going to dig what Paul says because this is something you can just immediately apply to your life and it's going to make you so much better at life if you do. And so here's what Paul says in Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 26. He says, in your anger, and what's our anger usually created by? Not the in-the-moment anger, but that deeper-seated anger. It's usually by something that happened in the past, right? Something that was done to us, something we continue to experience the residual of in our present and into our future. He says, in your anger, do not sin. So Paul gives us two imperatives right here. All right, he says, you know, if you grew up in the church, you know, when you were younger, you may have heard it in the King James Version. The King James Version says, be angry and do not sin. Now, some of you hear that and you're like, I can do that. I can check. I can't do anything in the Bible. I always fail, but I can be angry. Check that off the list. I'm good at that one. All right. So Paul says, be angry and do not sin. Two imperatives. And what he's saying is, look, there are certain things that make you angry, and you should be angry about them. There's certain things that hurt you, or hurt your family, or hurt your spouse, or hurt your kids, or people that are not able to defend themselves, and it just makes you angry that somebody's taking advantage of them. You should be angry. Be angry in those moments. For some of us, listen, you know, closely on this. For some of us, getting angry would be progress, right? Because like you're so indifferent on everything, and just there's no affect in your life on things that should really bother you. And so, you know, getting angry would be progress. But what he's saying here is anger has a proper place, and we've got to keep it in its proper place. All right, so two imperatives. Be angry, but in the midst of your anger, don't sin. And then he gives us this incredible insight into what our responsibility is whenever we feel anger. All right, and here's what he says. This next phrase, he says, and do not, which gives us an indication that there's a decision to be made here, that you and I, we have a decision. We can go either way on this. He says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Now, for many years, I believe this, and probably many of us believe this, that Paul like means this literally. All right, that he literally means don't put your head on your pillow at night while you're still angry. And as I begin to grow and mature and understand deeper, you know, understandings of context on this verse and so on, I begin to realize I don't think Paul means this literally. All right. Now, if it's something as easy as like, well, he just didn't put the paper, the toilet paper back on the roll after he used it all, and I'm angry, you probably could get past that by the time you get to putting your head on your pillow, right? Or if it's like something to do with some sharp words that were said in the midst of a heated conversation, and you're like, well, you offended me, and those dug deep, and you know, and he's like, or she's like, I'm sorry, and okay, well, I'm going to accept your forgiveness, okay? Well, I won't do it again, and you go back and forth, and okay, now we're good, we can go to bed. You can probably do that. But see, when it comes to the big things, like the thing that was done like 12 years ago that wakes you up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, or when it comes to like, you know, you were abused as a child and your dad knew it, and yet he never stepped in and defended you, and now you have a bitterness toward him. I mean, when it comes to the deeper things that just make us angry and bitter, and we have so much rage in our heart and our life toward that moment and that thing, I don't think Paul's saying this literally. Don't let the sun go down today. He realizes there's a bigger process that may have to take place. But what he's saying here is he's saying at some point, you have the responsibility and I have the responsibility and the ability to decide. See, we can decide, you know, how many more sunsets? All right, how many more, that's a good question. How many more sunsets am I going to let this thing that happened 10 years ago or 12 years ago or 3 years ago continue to impact my present right now? You know, how many more sunsets? I mean, if we need to get the calendar out and just decide, like, how many more sunsets am I, how many more times is the sun going to rise and set before I either deal with it, decide, or I choose to begin to dig into it? Because see, here's the crazy thing. If we choose to not answer that question, then 5 years from now, 10 years from now, our life's going to look just like it is right now. And so this is a really good question. How many more sunsets am I going to let this go on with? And then Paul goes on, and this is maybe the most brilliant part of this whole passage right here. Take a look at what he says next. So he says, in your anger, do not sin. You have a decision there. Do not, we have a decision here, let the sun go down while you're still angry. In other words, you have a part to play. And then he goes on, he says, do not give, as again, indicating you and I have a decision. We can do something or not do something. And see, here's where this gets a little difficult, because we all have stories, right? We have stories. You're like, Kurt, if you just give me a microphone and I could come up and tell my story, which I'm not going to do, by the way, but if you just give me a microphone and people could hear how painful my past has been and how terrible somebody treated me, you'd realize how stupid everything you're saying right now really is. All right, if I could just tell my story. So we all have a story, right? But what Paul's saying is, regardless of your story, you have a role to play. You can do something to move past this. So here's what he says. He says, do not give or do not gift or do not grant the devil a foothold. Now, two words right here I want to dig into a bit. Foothold and devil. Let's start with foothold. So foothold in the Greek translation here is actually translated into opportunity. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Or to better kind of visually think about it, do not give the devil a staging ground. Don't give the devil a staging ground in your life. All right, so don't let the devil, you know, have a staging area where he can invite all his friends in and they can throw a big old party in your life, wreaking all kind of havoc by continuing to allow this thing that happened so many years ago to fester and create bitterness where you just can't be released by that thing because they're throwing a party in your life of bitterness. Don't let the devil do that. And you say, well, how do I keep that from happening? Well, that's what Paul's trying to tell us. He's like, you've got to decide. It's deciding how many more sunsets. Is it going to be like four? Like by Thursday of this next week, am I going to deal with it? Or is it going to be, what's today, the 23rd? Seven more sunsets by the end of September? I'm going to decide. I'm going to not let this affect me one more day past, you know, September 30th. Or is it like, you know, the end of 2018, I'm going to decide by the end of this year, there's some work I need to do, some accountability I need. Maybe I have to get some counseling to move past this. You know, but by the end of 2018, I'm not going to let this bleed one more day past 2018. So by December 31st, 2018, I'm going to decide I'm going to move past this thing. See, what Paul's saying is don't let the enemy have a staging ground in my life that reaches into my next marriage and reaches into how I parent and reaches into how I grandparent, how I lead people and begins to influence the way I do my job at work. He's saying don't give him a staging ground. Now, another interesting word here is the word devil. And we have all kinds of images when we hear that word, right? And so in the Greek language, again, there's a couple ways devil is translated. One of them is into this idea of Lucifer or Satan. Now, whenever you hear Lucifer or Satan, you usually think of Halloween, right? You're like a little pitchfork kid standing at your front door, you know, a little fire, and, you know, he's that little devil. I mean, we think of a literal little devil dressed up with a pointy tail, right? But see, Paul, in this particular word that he uses devil in right here, it's not translated into Lucifer or Satan. It's actually translated equally into liar or deceiver, all right? And so the more practical way to understand this is if we take devil out of there and we were to fill in the blank with the name of the person who, you know, is like created all kinds of pain way back in your life that you're still dealing with today, and you were to read that and be like, well, do not give Mary a foothold, which if there's any Marys in the room, I'm sorry, all right? But if don't give Mary a foothold in your life, and you're going, oh my gosh, he's telling me Mary's the devil. I knew it my whole life, Mary's. I'm not saying that, all right? You might be thinking that. I'm just saying that when we put the name of that person in there, all of a sudden it makes more sense, right? See, here's the leverage point on this verse right here. What Paul's trying to get us to see is that in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give that ex-boss. Do not give that ex-spouse. Do not give that friend who totally betrayed you. Don't give, you know, if it was a mom who betrayed you or a dad who betrayed you or that person, don't give that person a staging ground in your life. Because why would we want to give the person who's hurt us the most a place in our life, in our heart, to continue to influence our life today? See, it's been way too many sunsets. It's been way too many days that have passed that we've just said, man, I just can't deal with that. So we continue to drag the past into our present and into our future. So what Paul's saying is you got to decide. We've got to decide. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. All right, and it usually doesn't happen overnight, which is why I'm not convinced that this is a literal statement that Paul says when he says, don't let the sun go down today. I mean, if it's toothpaste in the sink, you know, you can probably get past that by the time you put your head on your pillow. But if it's something bigger, you know, if it's something that requires, you know, meeting up with a counselor and having some sessions to unpack some of that, or it's, you know, talking with friends or creating some accountability, Paul's just saying, we've got to decide how many more sunsets are you going to let it go? You know, put a date on your calendar. In fact, here's kind of the macro level view of what he's saying right here. Don't let the sun go down on your life before you deal with this. And then he goes on. Here's what he says next. He says, get rid of. So again, you and I have a part to play in this. He's like, you have a decision to make right here. You can get rid of something, you cannot get rid of something. He says, get rid of all the bitterness, rage, and anger. Well, where does bitterness, rage, and anger come from? It comes from the things in the past, right? All the things in the past that have hurt us, that have betrayed us, that have in some way shaped, formed our life, the things we thought we could forget about, but we apparently aren't able to, that keep reaching into our present. He says, get rid of those along with brawling and slander and every form of malice and be kind and compassionate with one another. And here's our word right here, forgiving each other. Now, forgiving simply means to pardon. That's what it means. To forgive someone is when somebody totally screws you over And you go look at them and you go, man, you're guilty on this, but I'm going to choose to let you go anyway. To pardon someone is when you're like, man, you're guilty. You create all this pain in my life, but I'm going to choose to not punish you. So the question that usually comes up, because a lot of times these things that hurt us are pretty deep things. The question that sometimes comes up is, well, gosh, you know, if I pardon them, if I forgive them, does that mean I don't call the police? Well, no, like if it's a felony or if it's some kind of abuse or, you know, some kind of thing that is against the law, call the police, all right? Don't not call the police. See, now they have two people to deal with, right? They've got the government who's going to throw them in jail, and then they've got you. But see, you can pardon them, and then you can go visit them in jail and be like, interesting. I pardoned you, but apparently the government didn't. I got to go. See you later. And so, you know, you could, but you don't have to let this thing, you know, hold you in that place any longer. I'm telling you, it's crazy. So many times we're like, well, if I pardon, no, if they broke the law, you know, you need to report that, all right? But see, just because the authorities get involved doesn't mean you don't have a role in it. See, we still don't want them to own us, so we have to say, you don't owe me anymore. There's nothing you can do to repay this so that I am not owned by you anymore. So we still have to decide. Now, for Christians, for those of us who are followers of Christ, you know, this is like a whole nother level, whole bar gets raised right here. So he says, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, get this, God forgave you. So here's the motivation right here. See, this means that you and I were guilty, right? And guess what? God pardoned us. It's like God looked at us and he's like, oh, you're guilty? You have done things that have hurt people and broke people, and you've done things that have broke my heart as your heavenly Father, and yet God looks at you and he says, I'm going to let you go free anyway if you receive my grace. So God has pardoned us, and he says, I'm just asking for you to reproduce that into other people's lives. In fact, Jesus is the one that originated this. I mean, what Paul's doing is really recapturing something Jesus said in Matthew 6:14. Jesus said, for if you forgive other people, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I mean, that's a game changer. In fact, in the movie, An Unbroken Path to Redemption, this is the game changer principle that changes Louis Zamperini's life. I mean, and it's the one thing that totally changes his perspective, totally changes his trajectory. And I'm not gonna spoil the movie for you, but I'm telling you, he actually quotes this verse. He says, go look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. It will change your life. And then he says it, for if you forgive other people of what they have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you, so that you can be reminded of the past, but you don't have to be defined by the past. And you're going to have to go see the movie to see how that plays out in his life and how he gets past these horrible, horrible things that have happened in his past. But through one step of forgiveness, he begins to have a free life that's no longer owned by those things. But we have to decide. And so again, if you're a follower of Jesus, we have a responsibility on this. Like we will be forgiven to the level that we're capable of forgiving. Jesus says, hey, to the level that I've forgiven you, you need to pass that on into other people's life. Now, if you're not a Christian, here's what's really cool. First of all, we're excited you're here this morning. All right, maybe you're checking church out. Maybe you just come in for the first time because somebody invited you, or you knew you're getting free movie tickets, or whatever the case. Man, we're excited you're here. And Crosspoint's kind of designed for you, so we kind of orchestrate to the 80% of people that aren't in church every weekend, hoping that, you know, we would create a platform for you to be able to connect in this environment. But this principle, even if you don't believe the Bible or you're not sure about the Apostle Paul or if this is all accurate, this principle can still like have a lot of power in your life, right? This idea of forgiving as you've been forgiven. Like, think about your parents. I mean, you probably did some things where you really screwed your parents over growing up, and they were probably like, I forgive you. And you didn't deserve it, but they chose not to hold it against you any longer. Or like that coworker of yours who you totally undercut in the office. I mean, they were up for a promotion, and you came in, and you kind of undercut them, and you took the promotion yourself, and they came back at you, and they were mad, and they're like, you messed this up for me. You stole this from me, but I forgive you. I'm not going to hold it against you. So you've been on the recipient end of this, and I tell you what, when you begin to operate and just say, I'm going to forgive as others have forgiven me, you're going to become so much better at life, and life is going to be so much better for you. But we have to decide. And you say, how do we do that? Well, I want to give you a couple of super simple application steps, all right? So on the back of your connection card are some next steps, and I just want to walk us through these. They're going to tie into everything we've talked about so far. The first one, though, is just, you know, saying, hey, I'm gonna you know, invite a friend to Crosspoint next weekend, or maybe return. Maybe it's just you returning next weekend to be a part of, you know, another week here at Crosspoint. Maybe that's your next step. If that's it, awesome. We'd love to see you next weekend. But to dig into what we've talked about today, the first thing I want us to consider is that you need to go first so you can go on, all right? Which means if you've got something in your past that's influencing you right now and continuing to dictate your future, you need to just put it on your calendar. You need to decide, when am I going to move past this? How many more sunsets am I going to let this influence me? And I know how this goes, because when I have conversations with people on this, they go, well, I'm waiting for them to really feel the weight of what they've done. Then I'll forgive them. No, that's not what Paul's talking about. Because see, when you do that, you're still owned by them. You're still waiting for them to make a decision that's going to impact how you go forward. Paul says, no, you go first. Go first, forgive them, even if they don't want to receive it, even if they don't realize they've done anything wrong, you go first so that you can move on. And so we put it on our calendar. We say, okay, how many more days? How many more? Is it the end of this month? Is it the end of 2018? I'm gonna decide this is not going to impact me any longer. So maybe you need to put a date on the calendar. Second thing, and this is one of my favorite ones, and this has been so helpful for people that have actually done this, you need to make a list. Make a list of what they owe you. This is one of the most powerful things you can do. And you might be thinking, well, Kurt, I've done that. I've looked at a scripture verse, and I read Matthew 6:14, forgive them, you know, as I've been forgiven, and I said, you're forgiven, and I've just kind of moved on. And then I got up off my knees, and I got done praying, and all of a sudden I realized, man, I got a lot of bitterness in my heart still. Right, you do, because you forgave them generally, but you need to forgive them specifically. So you need to make a list. You need to sit down, take some time, and write a list out. Here's all the ways that I feel like they owe me. I mean, yes, they did take my opportunity to have a college education away from me. Or yes, they did take away the opportunity to have a healthy family. Or yes, they did take away my virginity. You know, whatever it is, you need to write it down and be prepared. The list is probably going to be longer than you think it's going to be. All right, you're going to need some time on this. Make a list. But I tell you what, there's something powerful that happens when you begin to write that down, because all of a sudden you have all these ways that you're owed by that person. There's something therapeutic about it, but there's something very powerful that happens when I look at that list very specifically and I can honestly go, okay, I forgive them of this and this and taking this and doing that. And what you find is that bitterness begins to kind of decentralize. And all of a sudden, your story begins to lose some of its power because you've decided to pardon them. You've decided that, hey, I'm not going to let them own me anymore because they don't owe me anymore. And then you're able to move on. And then the last step is, you know, Jesus says, forgive as you've been forgiven. You might be sitting here going, man, I've never known that kind of grace. I've never known what it's like for somebody to just scandalously, extravagantly say, man, you owe me, but you're going to be set free. I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to prosecute you. Maybe you've never known that kind of grace. Maybe you didn't have a parent figure in your life that was able to give that. And if that's the case, you probably struggle understanding how your Heavenly Father could extend that to you. And so maybe for you, man, you're struggling this morning. You feel like there's all this bitterness and rage and anger that you're trying to manage in your life of all these things that have happened in the past, and you don't even know how to forgive. And so we've given some practical steps, but maybe it starts with you experiencing that kind of extravagant grace so that you're actually able then to give it. And so if you walked in here this morning and you feel like you're just, you know, barely keeping your head above water, and all this bitterness and rage is just killing you, I mean, it's just eating away at your life and your relationships and your marriage and, you know, everything in your life. Maybe today's the day where you invite Jesus into that. And you say, Jesus, I just need a rescue. I need you to do for me in this situation what I'm incapable of doing myself. And you need to receive from him. Receive his grace. Let that grace just flow in. And then you're going to be in a posture where you can begin to extend that to others. So that can happen for you today if you want to take that step today. So let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing a couple songs after I pray that are going to really just pin us to this idea. In fact, this first song we're going to sing is called Forgiven, and it talks about reminding us of how we were the one that held the nail. I mean, to be able to extravagantly forgive, we got to remember that we have been forgiven greatly, and so we then want to forgive others. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to look at what Paul gives us as a clear pathway to moving past the past. And yet, man, it is so hard to execute. And yet, God, I'm confident that there's some of us in here today who you've been nudging our hearts, just telling us, hey, you need to pick a date. You need to put a date on that calendar, and you just need to decide I'm moving on. And so, God, if that's any of us in this room, I pray that you give us the courage to do that today. If it's making a list, if it's sitting down this afternoon and writing down all the things someone owes us so we can forgive specifically, God, give us the space to do that today. Help us to not miss this moment today to decide that we can actually begin to get to a different place. And Father, for any of us in here who are just struggling, we've never known your grace, we've never known your love and what that means, maybe we're just being strangely warm, because it's not by the magic of my words, it's not by anything that's happened in this room. You're actually the one, God, who draws us to you, and maybe that's happening for some of us today. And so if you're in a place where you're like, man, I just need a rescue from what I'm currently dealing with. I've never tried Jesus before, but I guess I need to maybe depend and trust that he could actually work in my situation. And you just want to invite his grace into that and into your life right now. It can happen by you simply saying, yes, Jesus, I want to receive you. Would you just allow that grace to flow in my life? And here's the cool thing. The moment that begins to happen, you're spiritually changed. And the same power that raised Jesus from the grave begins to reside in you. And you may not know fully what your next step is, but that Spirit will begin to guide you, and it will begin to order your steps. And so, God, I just pray that that happens for any of us who are receiving you right now, that as we receive you, you would receive us. And Father, as we sing, would you just remind us of how much we've been forgiven of?